Events this week in Boston remind us that the sad reality, as long as Satan exists and as long as man is bent on evil, there will be suffering, won't there? And the stark reality is that if not for sin, there would be no such thing as suffering. But much of our suffering endured is, sadly enough, the direct result of other people's undoing or doing in the lives around us that causes suffering. And so by the sins that they perpetrate against others, whether it's the bombings that go on, whether it's the assault, whether it's abuse or a drunk driver, a theft, a marriage that falls apart, the list can go on and on. All those things that happen in life that are the direct result, suffering caused by sins of others. And then there's other suffering that comes along that is really the direct result of our own sin that we endure. And we often don't recognize at the time that it is our own doing that has brought the situation that we are in. But, you know, if you show up late for work enough and get fired, the reality is it's your own undoing, right? It's your own suffering to be in the jobless state that you were in as a result of it. Or if you steal and you end up in jail, your own sin caused you to be in a state of suffering that you might be enduring in life. And or family destruction that happens. Or if you overspend and you end up in a huge dilemma of debt and struggle in life to make it. It's our own failures in those areas that cause us to suffer. And much of our suffering fits into that category, doesn't it? We bring our suffering on ourselves in very many cases with adultery and with gossip and with hurting others in the words or other things that we do. But still others is just indirect result suffering. And the indirect result suffering is the suffering that just flat happens because you and I live in a world that has been impacted by the sin of humanity. That means that it's not a direct thing, but because of this world that we live in has been so thrown out of balance by the sin of mankind that the disease it now exists. That the direct result, our indirect result of suffering caused by sin that has brought things such as cancer because of our bodies are just fallen and decaying, in the loss of a loved one that's a direct result of just suffering in a world that's just kind of coming apart at the seams in so many ways, the indirect suffering of a home destroyed by a fire or by a tornado or by a flood that you have no control. You're just part of this place called Earth, and you suffer because of it. Or perhaps it's even that aspect of a child that's born with disabilities or loss of a loved one that is so difficult to handle that's a part of the course and the cycle of life, or life with physical pain. Many of you have endured or know and have loved ones that endure that continually. And it's just a result of being in this world that you are suffering. And maybe even the tragedy of an explosion in Texas where, you know, it's just being a part of this world and suffering comes. So I think it is safe to say if not for the sin of the world, the sin of humanity and the sin of ourselves, there would be no suffering at all in this world. But as long as sin is real, suffering will be real. And at any given time in our life, we are all affected at some level, either in our own personal life or in someone we know or some situation we're a part of, we're all affected at some level by the causes of suffering. And if I were to go around this room today and just start at one corner and we worked one person by one person around and we were all open and honest about the suffering that's going on or that we've endured in life, you would have to make sure you would have brought a lunch pail today because you wouldn't be getting out anywhere soon, would you? Because I'm sure that this room itself is filled with a plethora of abundance of things that could just be shared of the turmoil of your own suffering that you've endured. And as much as suffering is a reality, when we're enduring it, it goes through our minds and our hearts are occupied by it. We can't get it out of our thoughts. And most of us, we really want to know when those we loved are hurting a little bit and we care. But, you know, there is a degree in which we want to keep it at a distance too, right? I mean, we really give that nice Christian-y thing of praying, I'll pray for you and oh, please let me know how you're doing. And we like to know about some of the suffering that others are going through, but we don't like to know all of it, do we? I mean, we kind of like to keep some of the things at a distance. You know, today, for instance, it used to be years ago, remember, everybody would pull out a picture and show you their family, especially if you've got grandkids, that's the main one. You know, those of us who've got kids, when they're really small, we've got a bunch of pictures, and I know just Facebook-wise, you see all the pictures of little babies and everything, and they're posted because we're so proud of our children. Well, by the time they get into those teen years or whatever, you're not posting any pictures anymore. I don't know why that is, but you know, you don't carry as many pictures around. You got them on your phone if you're old school. Remember the old billfold with your little accordion thing of pictures that people would carry around, and yeah, look at this, and you'd show, oh, these are my grand. Well, what if all of that happened, but instead of this grandkid, grandbaby, child, baby of your own thing, what if they pulled out their cell phone or their tablet, or if they're really old school, I know some of us probably fall in this category, their wallet that still has pictures in it. Some of you know that, right? That's all you've got. And so, but you pull that out, and what if instead of showing you kids and grandkids and all that, they said, oh, I just want to show you some of my suffering. Here's a picture of that bunny and I've had. It's just killing me. I just can't take it anymore. Look at this. It's killing me. Or, you know, it's one of these, oh, this is the job I lost. I used to have it, but I don't have it anymore. Or, you know, this is my ex-husband and his new wife and kids, and I just, you know, it's been 10 years ago, but he's got kids, and I'm not going to ever have any kids with him, and it's just killing me. And, you know, we really don't want it that depth, do we? We like to support each other in suffering, but we like to keep it at a little bit of a distance, right? We don't like really the in-depth part of life. But one thing we find in the Bible is that suffering is not foreign to God's people. And numerous times throughout the Bible, we are taught that God can use suffering, even suffering, to our benefit. 16 times in the book of 1 Peter, we're in this series, this group of sermons called Chosen. 16 times in the book of 1 Peter, Peter talks about to suffer and suffering. He's no foreign himself of what it means to suffer. In John 21, towards the end of Jesus' time here on this earth, Jesus tells Peter that in your old age, he gives him a hint of what's to come. In your old age, someone is going to lead you to where you don't want to go. And your hands are going to be stretched out. And he told him, in all essence, you're going to be led and you're going to be crucified. So Peter is not unknown to what it means to be suffering in his life. He's lost loved ones because of this thing that he calls, or that is called Christianity, this belief in Jesus Christ. And then somewhere around 64 to 67 AD, when Nero, the ruler of Rome, was in power, finally did execute Peter for his belief in Jesus Christ. He understood what suffering was. And in chapter 5, Peter calls himself a witness to the suffering of Jesus. And he's able to say that because he had personally, physically, with his very own eyes, seen the suffering of Jesus. He was there and watched the scourging of Jesus take place before Jesus' execution. So he physically was a witness of that. And one man writes that Peter was a man traveling in the shadow of the cross. He knew the cross of Jesus behind him, and he knew the cross of his own in front of him. He knew what was to come, that one day he would die for his faith. So he knows suffering. He knows suffering. And if you live even the shortest time on this earth, you will endure suffering. And there's always someone out there that has worse suffering than you do, right? I mean, that's a given. There just always is somebody has worse suffering in their life than you do. But there is no suffering that is ever more real to you than yours. No suffering is ever more toilsome and burdensome than your own. 1 Peter 1, we're going to be in 1 Peter. If you've got your Bible or electronic device and want to get there, that's great. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 6, and we're going to just spend most of our time writing these few passages here. Peter writes this: in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Here's what I want you to see. God has chosen you to benefit from your suffering. God has chosen you to benefit from your suffering. Now, we're not saying that God's causing your suffering. Don't get that. But God has chosen you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's chosen you to gain benefit from it. And he says here, suffering grief in all kinds of trials. Now, all kinds of trials, the word that's all kinds here actually is multicolored. God has, you're suffering in these multicolored trials, and it literally means all facets, or so many different facets. You're enduring so many different looking types of struggles in your life, of trials in your life, of suffering in your life. And this word multicolored or many-colored trials, many-colored is only used one other time in the New Testament in the original language, and that only other time that it's used is when it's used to describe God's grace. Isn't that unique? To find that for every type of suffering that you're ever going to endure in your life, there is a God's color of God's grace to cover it, to show it, to be in the midst of it in every single facet that you're going to encounter. And he doesn't say that their trials, that their suffering they're enduring isn't real, or that it's not significant, or that it doesn't really matter. He doesn't minimize it or just tell them to get over it. Now, the suffering these people are enduring is not like our suffering today in some ways. The suffering they're enduring is specifically about persecution in their time. Now, at this point in Christianity, the time has not come where Christianity has become a force that the government of Rome is totally legalized the persecution kind of a thing. It's more subtle than that. It hasn't developed in a full onslaught against Christianity yet by this point. But they're starting to endure some of these things that are coming on, and it's about persecution because they are believers in Jesus Christ. And while more persecution against Christians, we are kind of in isolation here in our country. We don't realize that in the last few decades, more persecution has existed in the world today against Christians than in any other time in history. Did you know that? More people have been martyred for their belief in Jesus Christ in our generation, it sets right here, than in any other generation in history. And we just kind of live in our shelter houses here that we don't see that or know about those things. The news media doesn't report it, because it's just not real news to them. But he says, you know, all kinds of suffering. It's varied. It's persecution at a variety of levels. It's persecution of job loss because you've become a believer in Jesus Christ. It's persecution of family turmoil because of their faith in Jesus. It's persecution of a loss of a position in the community that they're no longer able to have because of their beliefs. Or it's a friendship that has ceased to exist because of them becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. And it is even physical harm that they endure because of it at times as well. And even though he's speaking directly about suffering, about persecution, the same thing is available to us. The same benefit is available to us if you're a believer in Jesus Christ through your faith. And even when suffering is caused by ourselves, we find in retrospect, unfortunately it takes us retrospect often to learn a lot of things, doesn't it? But we find in hindsight, that's always 20/20, very often it's even in our own suffering that through repentance God is able to use it to do amazing things, to grow us and to accomplish what Peter talks about here in our lives through understanding our mistakes and our sins in changing our lives and getting on track and coming to God. It's through that suffering so often that we grow exponentially. I'd have to say that few things have taught me as much in my life as my failures have through God's use of them. But like suffering of persecution, much of the suffering we endure is simply because we live in a world, isn't it, here? A fallen world. And Peter says in 1 Peter 1:7, it says of this suffering, "These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. Now, when he says these have come so that may be proved, the word may be proved actually means may be found. So that your faith may be found. Because these have come, your faith may be found. Because these have come, you have an opportunity to find your faith, to find a genuine faith. And so often we find that, isn't it? Because of hardships, we find our faith. It's not what God is doing to you, it's what God is working through you in your life because of the suffering that you're enduring. It's through our trials that we often find genuine faith. And It's easy to say we have faith. I mean, it's just wonderful and so easy to come to church on Sunday morning and talk about faith and how wonderful it is to be a Christian and how much we love Jesus. It's all so wonderfully easy when everything's going really good, isn't it? But when things aren't going so good, that's when it's all another thing. It's when life becomes difficult. And faith is often what we don't find until we can't find anything else. Faith is often not what we really find. Genuine faith, deep faith in Jesus Christ and belief in Jesus Christ is often not found in our lives until we have nothing else to hold on to. And what can happen to our faith when we open it up to God, when we open our suffering up to God, is like gold that is refined. Now, when gold is refined, you see, we're one of these, we're in this era where there's still the old classic reruns of the old Western shows, right, where they were always trying to mine gold and get the nuggets out of the mine and things of that nature. And gold, when it's found, is mixed. It's gold mixed with ore and particles, and it's not perfect in any means. And it has all these impurities in it. So to refine it, they had to take it and they would melt it. And they would heat the gold up actually to almost 2,000 degrees. That's pretty warm. And they would heat it up, and as they would heat it up, the impurities would float to the top, and they would skim those impurities off the top to remove it to make pure gold, to purify it. And suffering has this way of melting the self-dependence in our life, doesn't it? It has this way of taking us to a point of saying, you know, I give up, I can't do this anymore. It has this way of, it often brings to light the impurities that we have that we don't recognize. And we reflect on ourselves, and it has a way of letting us surrender them to God. And it's not easy. And his way is this way of that we find so many things in life and suffering, we find so many things that don't really matter. You know, the things that you were focused on before the suffering, why is it in the midst of suffering so many things cease to matter that we thought did before? All the things that you thought are important, you know, there is that dilemma of we are focused on these things of this world, about a car that we want, about a house that we want, about a situation, about somebody we don't like at work, and we've got all these lists. But you know, when real hardship and suffering comes into our life, you know, we get to where we really don't care much about so many of those things, do we? It has its way of refining in our life what really matters, doesn't it? You all know people who have had illnesses and struggles that they've encountered in life, and so many times I've heard it that they really, at the times of those times in life, they come to really focus and realize what matters. They've let go of so many things of this world that just doesn't matter. All of us guys in here have hit our thumbs with a hammer before. I'm sure all of us guys have used a hammer, have hit our fingers or thumbs with a hammer before. And I got to tell you what, when you really whack your finger with a hammer, the thing that you're not thinking about is you're not going, you know, you're not hitting that thing and going, oh man, I wish I had an ice cream cone. It's just nowhere in your mind, because your hurting has you focused pretty well. And that's what happens in our suffering so often. Peter's not saying that to go out and look for suffering. Don't do that. Or desire suffering. But when it's endured, to hold on to God and to draw near to God and allow him to find a faith for you that is worth more than earthly treasure can ever find. James 1, 2, and 3, a classic verse, one to write down and to hold on to in your Bible. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Consider it pure joy, one of my favorite verses of the Bible that I've held on to at times. It has been said, God never wastes a hurt, but you have to open your life to him to use it. Because whether you know it or not, God has chosen you to benefit from your suffering. Doesn't mean that others are going to have suffering and you're not going to have suffering, or you're going to have suffering that others aren't going to have suffering. It means that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he has chosen you to benefit from it. And there's nobody else in the world outside of believers in Jesus Christ who have that promise that we have been chosen to benefit through our faith in Jesus Christ and all of the dilemmas that we have. And the thing that I find so often that we struggle with in the people that I encounter that are going through suffering is so often we are never really willing to open our life up to God, to allow God to come into it. I find so often people that are just in devastating life hardship and hurt and pain, and they believe in Him in their mind, but instead of opening their life, they won't let Him get near. They'll keep God at a distance. They won't let go of their suffering because of the fear or the hurt. They won't give it to God and let Him work in it because of the fear and the hurt, because they just don't trust God, because they can't bring themselves to do anything but keeping it at a distance, because they just don't know what else to do, and they have anger about the situation, so they just won't come to God. To find that promise of God wanting you to benefit from your suffering, you have to bring it to Him. You have to come to Him and let Him come into it. And Peter comes in here and he says, though you have not seen him, you loved Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible joy, inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, when we pursue faith in suffering, we find something that we cannot find any other time. We find that we grow a depth of belief in God that isn't based on our situation all the time, that doesn't go up and down, that our joy in life isn't up and down on how much of God we're experiencing or how much of God we feel like we have. Our joy isn't based on, wow, I really feel God right now, or wow, I don't feel God like now. The joy is still there all the time. That's a joy that He's speaking about. In our suffering, we depend on Him, and we grow, and we hold on to Him, and we find a joy. Now, it's not just happiness, ha, 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 I'm smiling on the outside, look at me. That's not what He's speaking about. That's just kind of happy or laughing, not joy. Joy is something altogether different. And as we do that, we find an unconditional love for Him. Now, Peter says, though you've not seen Him. Now, you have to remember, Peter has seen Jesus, hasn't he? Physically, literally seen Jesus with his eyes. He has seen Him. He's touched Him. He's talked with Him. He's eaten with Him. He's walked with Him. So he has this physical experience with Jesus, and that's he believes so profoundly because he's had that. But these people he's talking to have not. They've never had that. They've never seen Jesus in a physical sense. They've just believed in Him because of the faith of others. And they've come to believe in Him because of the change that He's made in their lives and because of the salvation they found in Him. And Peter says, you found something special beyond those of us who have seen Him. Though you have not seen Him, you believe. That's unique to Him. Because he knows why he believes. I believe because I've seen Him, but you haven't seen Him, and you believe this. And you believe it, and you hold on to it because of suffering. A faith that's worth more than gold, and because of it, you have this joy. He says here, a joy, it's an unspeakable, inexpressible joy. It's a joy beyond explanation. In other words, it doesn't make any sense at all. He seems to almost be a little perplexed because, you know, I've seen Him, and that's why I've got this joy, but you've never seen Him, and you've got that same joy. And I know that it's because of suffering, because of who you found in God through your times and your hardships. And Peter knew, and he had hope and was willing to die for Jesus Christ because of what he'd seen. But these people were really willing to die because of who they just believed. That means joy in your life. That means through suffering, by growing in your faith, to have this suffering worth more than gold, that means a joy in your life that when your kids are struggling, it's still there. When you're not sure what's going to happen, it's still there. When the job is in turmoil, it's still there. You know that you can have peace and joy because God is still there. That's where it comes from. It's through enduring suffering and learning through suffering and growing through suffering, and in the end realizing that God is still there. Because God has chosen you to benefit from your suffering. Do you believe that? Let's say it together. God has chosen you to benefit from your suffering. But how do you find it? Just before Peter speaks of going into these trials in verse 6, he says, in this you greatly rejoice. Now, when he says it, he's not talking about those passages we just read. He's talking about the passage before it in verse Peter 1, 3 through 5. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So the ability to greatly rejoice and find faith in this world through our suffering is possible through choosing what he says in these verses, okay? That means you have to make some choices. You have to choose to benefit through suffering. And in this, he gives us several things, four things that I want you to see that you have to choose. One, you have to choose to accept and claim a new birth in Jesus Christ. You have to choose that as your own. He mentions a new birth. And he also mentions a living hope. You have to choose to accept a living hope. It's a choice that we have to make to have this hope in Jesus Christ, no matter what goes on in our life. Choosing a living hope means surrendering your suffering to him. Surrendering it to Jesus and letting him have it. And hoping and knowing that he is going to be enough for you, rather than holding on to what you have that can never be used by him. So choose to accept a living hope. Choose to hope in an inheritance. He talks about an inheritance can never spoil, fade, or take away. In other words, no matter what happens in this world, God has got something for you that nobody can take away. No situation in this world can take away. No individual in this world can take away. No tragedy in this world can take away that inheritance. It is there, and it can never be taken away. He says, choose to hope in this. Hope in that inheritance. Another one is choose to believe that through faith, God's power shields you. That through faith, God's power shields you. That means that through God's power, he shields you from this world totally defeating you. That means that there is nothing in this world that can totally defeat you. Means that hardships are going to come, that life is going to be tragic, that suffering is going to happen. But through holding on to him, believing in his faith, that your faith in him will shield you from ever, ever letting him go. But you have to choose him. And you have to choose that hope and that faith and choose to believe. And for some of you, I know there are times when the suffering, and maybe even what you're going through now, is so overwhelming you just can't see how you can make it. And if that's you, then where do you start? Well, you start with number one, if you haven't already. Choose to accept Jesus and claim the new birth in him. Choose him. Because until you do that, this promise, none of this benefit for suffering is yours to be had. And maybe you've claimed that. Maybe you believe in him and you've accepted him and you've got him as your Lord and Savior. And if that's the case and you don't know where else, just start with the next one that's there. Choose to accept a living hope. You have to make that choice. I'm going to hope in him. Choose that. Start where you can start and do that and do it one day at a time and every day. And then move to the next level of choice in him. Take it one at a time. Three times in seven verses, Peter mentions faith. That means the key to all this is faith. That means the key to it is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in accepting him and resting in the hope of who he is. And as a result, when tragedy and hardship comes, he will grow that faith and he will make it stronger. So the benefit of suffering is that God wants you to benefit from it through a belief in him. Now, I want you to notice something through this as we kind of end out here. He never says it's going to be easy. Okay? Nowhere in this does God say your suffering is going to be easier. Peter doesn't say, you know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, suffering is going to be like no big deal. He doesn't say that at all. He recognizes that it's real. And he recognizes that God can use it. And God wants to use it in your life and mine because he doesn't cause your suffering, wow, can he use it? And he can do things and bring you to know him in a way and depend on him in a way and hope in him in a way that you've never understood and bring a joy that's just inexpressible beyond your circumstances. But you have to make the choice. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to come to you today, and I know that we all go through different turmoils and struggles and different situations in life, and everybody here has a different one. Some have health, some have family, some have job, some just have personal struggles, and every one of them are different, but for every different color of struggle that we have, there's a different color of your grace to invade it and to give us hope and to give us strength. Lord, I pray that if we are here today, that we would open our life to allow you to lead us to accept your benefit in the midst of our suffering, whatever it may be. And if someone here that doesn't know you has never accepted you, that they may start there today. Lord, and I thank you for just allowing us to be able to come to a God who's so great and awesome. I ask this in your name. Amen.